Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode, episode 18.
18. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Yeah, I know.
with our tendencies.
Yeah.
I definitely figured we would be done a while ago, but this is the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. We'll do a real intro someday, we promise, TM.
Yeah. Well, we are coming up on 1 year, so maybe that'll be the 1 year. Hey, we made it to 1 year. Let's actually make this thing sound legit.
give
a cool intro, because I do have a hot take sound clip from one of the episodes, and I have it noted, so I have to go back to see if it's actually worthy.
Okay, I like it. But anyway, so here we are. End of the Natsuba show.
Yep.
And I don't think I've seen so few Rikishi at the end of a tournament before ever.
it did feel like so when because most of the time we catch highlights. I think like one night I happened to be up catching some stuff live, and most of it was like Makushita and Juryo. But like towards like days pretty much 12 through 15, I felt like I was watching less and less matches. And I don't know if that's because like I was just trying to get through like some of the lower ranked guys where they're kind of out of the competition. I was more excited about getting to the top. Or there were just less guys towards the end. And it kind of felt like there was the latter. Like there was a lot less guys towards the end.
Yeah. And I think for me too, it was, and I mean, not to take anything away from, spoilers incoming, but not to take anything away from Takakesho, but let's watch a turn of Fuji wipe the floor with people. It just gets depressing. I don't know what it is. I can't get behind him winning so much. Like, it's an amazing story, obviously, and I'm sure I'm in the minority, but
I don't know. I'm torn as well, because I don't like previous Terano Fuji, and I don't particularly care for him now, but if you have to have someone who's going to be your measuring stick, I mean, Takakesho did. I mean, he was runner-up. They had the playoff.
Yeah. I mean, he won on day 15 to tie it up. Like, I mean,
I was also kind of surprised that Terano Fuji took back-to-back losses on 14 and 15, but like I wish Takakesho could be this consistent, because I thought he went back to like he did his brand of sumo. He was like very good at being very aggressive, good tachi. I kept with the pushing, like it was very
squared up.
Squared up, like he looked really, really good and just being like, I'm gonna do what I do best and I'm gonna make sure people take care of it. I mean, he even made Terano Fuji look bad. I mean, I wouldn't say he made him look foolish, but he handled Terano Fuji pretty well in that, at least in the not playoff match.
Yeah.
Like 15.
Yeah, it was definitely a good, like, yeah, in all his wins, he looked, I mean, not to say that Terano Fuji didn't look good in his wins either, but
oh, well, yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I watched it again. He made him look silly. He was just. Yeah.
Like, that's something that, like nine times out of 10, Terano Fuji takes that kind of fight.
Oh, man. Yeah,
and he kind of just like sidesteps them, and Terano Fuji sort of overcommits a little bit, and then like China just goes down.
That kind of just looked like jitters for Terano Fuji on that one. I don't know what it was. It was like,
I wouldn't be surprised, because I mean, think about what's on the line.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like, so he's got two wins in a row, one at Senyaku or Sekiwake, and now at Ozeki.
Oh man, Takakesho was so ready for that. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm watching the tachi eye over and over again, because Takakesho had his hands like down immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And was like ready to go.
He's like, yeah. I'm about to smoke you. Like, I know what I'm gonna do.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I mean, what was on the line is, you know, Sekiwake, he won one. Ozeki, they have to win two at Ozeki, and I doubt they're gonna make him a Yokozuna right now. Like, I can't imagine that they would. I'm interested to see, though, because Hakuho, I think he'll be back for the July Basho. If he is healthy for 15 days and Terano Fuji wins, I mean, it's almost a guarantee.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, 100%. If Terano Fuji beats Hakuho, and
even if he doesn't,
even if he wins the Yusho,
yes,
and doesn't beat Hakuho, then he's still Yokozuna. But I think if he beats Hakuho, even if it's that actually, I wonder if the would be like the converse of that would happen, like if he loses the he doesn't win, but he beats Hakuho, but has like, you know, like a 13-2.
It would be interesting if they can at least consider it, because you're entering, like I said, we're getting to the age of no Yokozuna, and it's kind of terrifying to think of the fact that your inconsistent Ozeki group right now are your top dogs. Like Takakesho, if he continues to at least be double digits, that'll be great. Shodai is inconsistent. Taran Fuji is your best Ozeki, and obviously with what happened to Asanoyama, he'll have a long journey back to get back to Ozeki.
Yeah.
So there's some guys who could potentially move up into Ozeki. But even like Senyaku is pretty inconsistent. I don't know. I don't know if you'd force Taran Fuji into Yokozuna.
Yeah. I mean,
Yusho.
You got Takeyasu and Takeumi up there doing their thing, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, those are probably your two. And Daisho, who didn't perform well this tournament, but I think he's capable.
Yeah.
He's at least has a history of beating some top guys.
Yeah, and he's got a Yusho just back in January, yeah. So it's not like he's too far removed from a championship, but it could just be, you know, that all of a sudden pressure that it was like, oh, well, I've won one. Well, now I have to win a couple because he went 8-7 last tournament, and then he was 6-9 this tournament.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there will be some movement with the Senyaku guys.
Yeah, and yeah, we got the spot, as you briefly mentioned. We have the Ozeki spot opening up there with Asanoyama.
Yeah, well, actually, so the interesting is he'll be Katoban. They won't consider it a full pullout, so he actually won't be demoted from Ozeki until September.
I gotcha.
So yeah. He will get the benefit of being Katoban for one tournament in July, and then come August, he'll probably be like, I don't know if they'll throw the book at him and be like, we're going to move you from Ozeki all the way down to 10, or if they'll kind of slowly, incrementally move him down to like 4, and then 10, and then... Mm-hmm. Like, and we don't know what his suspension is going to be. And in case people haven't heard, there was like something he lied about being off with a hostess, and I think he did some adultery, and he lied initially, and then he came clean and said that he did, and that, I think that's what made most people upset about it. It was like, you lied initially, and now you're telling the truth. Now we're going to throw the books at you.
Yeah, he pulled a Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton. he did the reverse Abby. I mean, Abby was honest. He was like, yeah, I went and did what I did because I'm a young guy and I'm an idiot. I think Abby will actually be back up in Jerio, speaking of Abby, but so I don't know where Asanoyama will fall, but you'll have only 3 Ozeki next tournament for sure.
Yeah. So then, you know, the records up there were pretty good overall, I would say. I mean, Takanosho with the 5-10, Daisho 6-9, but on the reverse of that, on the east side, you had Takeyasu with a 10-5 and Takeumi with a 10-5. So I think that's pretty good. Senyaku,
I'm excited because it's the first couple of days for Takeyasu. You could almost see that I felt like he was a lot faster and he was like coming out with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. He looked really, really good, where I was like, okay, I don't want you to tease us again because I know it's not going to happen and I'm kind of done believing, and I know some people will be upset with that. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he was doing good, and then, I mean, his numbers reflected he was, you know, 7-2 in the first 9, and then he took 3 of the last 6 days as losses.
And one of those wins was a, words escaping me, but a walkover.
Oh, yeah, a few cents show.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that was his MO. It was the majority of his matches in the end of the tournament. So that held true. Takeumi, middle matches seem to be his weak spot this time.
Yeah.
But again, he's so kind of inconsistent. I don't know if he'll ever get past Ozeki. Definitely not past Ozeki, but up even into Ozeki at this point, I think, is kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, he's now, so he's your fourth leader in Yusho's. You obviously have Hakuho active with the most. Taran Fuji now sitting at 4, Takakesho at 2, and Takeumi at 2. So like, it just kind of surprises me that a guy who has 2 Yusho's isn't more consistent than he should be. Like, I feel like he should be putting up better numbers. And at least being somewhat consistent. And it's always a roller coaster with him. Like, it's really hard to predict what you're going to get with him.
Yeah. And so we refer to our hot takes on episode 17. And I think we both picked Taran Fuji.
Yeah. So yeah,
the realistic winner there.
Yeah, we went through anyone who was Senyaku or Ozeki. And yeah, so we went with Taira no Fuji with both our picks, but we did pick Takakesho as a potential backup, as well as Asunayama as potential. I mean, we did pick like 3 out of the 8 available names. But our final picks were Taira no Fuji.
Yeah, yeah. I think that made the most sense with, you know, who he was up against and like his history went, you know, into his history against those guys pretty deep detail, actually. So he's got a winning record against all of them. So.
Yeah, I think one of the guys on the last day, I think he might have had an even record with, if I remember right. It was like one of the few guys that he hasn't had a winning record against, and I'm pretty sure all the other Ozeki he has. But I forget who he faced last. Let's see, day 14. I think Endo might have been the one that he had.
Yeah, he fought Endo on day 14 and lost.
Yeah. So he was 14. He was 4-4 against Endo, and then he fell to 4-5.
Yeah, and Endo had a really good tournament, actually.
Which you picked. You did pick Endo from the 6 through 10 guys. Mm-hmm. So, and I think a lot of people, actually, our man from Shamanikin, he was tweeting about it, and people were like, oh, yeah, don't have faith in Endo. Like, he's likely to, like, I wouldn't count it, because he was actually winning in his own competition.
Mm.
He was like, put out the thing and you pick pretty much what we did, but he does it with like several hundred people and it's gotten huge over the last couple of years. But
yeah,
he was actually in first in his own bracket. and everyone's like, oh yeah, don't count on Endo. You're likely to take a couple losses there.
Yeah.
And yeah, Endo finished third.
Oh, it's all right. He's up and down. He'll get up to, this will bump him up. Looking at
two or one. I mean, he beat Taira no Fuji, so
yeah,
that'll weigh a lot, but yeah, he'll get back up to like one.
And then he'll do his little downswing. Yeah, yeah. He'll maybe, make it up to Komisubi or something, and then.
Then again, he has a better foundation right now. I don't know if you need to be in Senyaku in order to get the Ozeki promotion. If you need like 30 in, I don't think you need 30 in Senyaku.
Mm.
I don't think so. Let's see what Taira no Fuji's was.
I mean, that would be because I guess. I never really thought of that. Like, I don't know, because I guess you never really stay down that low. Like, if you're a Magashira 15 and you go 15-0, they're gonna shoot you up to like 2, and then if you went 15-0 again, you would like, that's 30.
Yeah. So Taira no Fuji did have to win. He won. He didn't have to, but he did win 30 in Senyaku. I guess I won't go into some of the other guys that are here, but. Let's see. I just want to check this one out real quick. So, like, Takakesho also won 30 in Senyaku. So, maybe there is a Senyaku. Maybe Magashira 1.
Yeah, I would say, like, if anything, they would probably just allow a Magashira 1. Or, you know, like, a Magashira 2 winning a Yusho or something. I don't know. Like, some rare case, I could see maybe a Magashira 2 getting promoted to Ozeki. But I feel like jumping those spots to get right to Ozeki is questionable.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that. Like, I feel like you have to at least, I think one could be the outlier, and then anything in one and Senyaku would probably be your two, mm-hmm. your two positions where you need to get your 30 or 33 wins to get promoted.
Yeah. And then speaking of ones and twos, my pick of Hokuto Fuji for the top, was it 5 we did? Top 6.
So it was 1 through... Let me pull it up again. It was 1 through 5. Mm. Yep, so you had Hokuto Fuji.
Yeah, which was... It's kind of disappointing. He came out the gate bad. That's someone who I was, like, watching pretty consistently for, like, the first 4 days, and all of his losses were awful. And I was like, okay, never mind. Like,
yeah, he had 6 straight losses to begin.
Yeah, that was not... working out, but on the other side, Wakataka Kage,
who I don't know if I'm going to jinx him, but I think he could be pretty legit.
He had some really good wins though. Like, he was another one I was watching, making sure I was watching all the matches for, and like, again, he's kind of spastic. He doesn't have like a style, I don't feel like.
Yeah, I don't think he has a style.
But it works for him because he's not like, there's no, you can't game plan for him.
Yeah. I think I don't think he has any kind of style. I thought he was a little less wild this tournament, despite the 9-6. Like I think he was competitive in a lot of those losses. Like I don't think any of them he was, you know, he made, you know, was made to look bad or anything. Like, but yeah, I mean, he did get his second technique prize, which he got last tournament as well.
Kind of looks like he lost a little bit of weight too, looking at him, put some muscle on actually.
I look at him,
like his triceps are huge. Like
I look at him and I kind of see a little bit of Haruma Fuji.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if the height is there, because Haruma Fuji was pretty tall and muscular. But yeah, I see a lot of potential, and he's doing very well against the Ozeki.
Yeah, he had to fight. Obviously, had to fight all of them this time. So. Yeah,
so I mean, he lost to Takakesho on day one. He lost to Haruma Fuji. But he beat Asanoyama and Shodai, and then he beat Takayasu. So three of his first 4 days were Ozeki, Sekiwake.
Yeah.
He beat Takanosho, another Sekiwake, beat Daisho, Okomusubi, lost to Matakiumi. So he was probably, I think it's like 5-4 maybe against the Senyaku guys.
Still, like, especially, I mean, I think he's been up that high once before. But,
so I think this is his highest rank.
Yeah.
I think Magashira 1 is tied for the highest that he's been at.
Yeah, okay. I thought he had been up here before, so.
Yeah, so he was there. He went down to 2 because then he was 7-8, went down to 2, set out that tournament because of the COVID test that came back positive, then stayed at 2, went 10-5, and then took 9-6. He could easily have been 10-5, too. That last fight on day 15 was a close one as well.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm watching his Meisei loss on day 7. And like, he had a pretty rough Tachi-ai and recovered, like looked like he was kind of stunned there for a second, and then recovered and actually had a pretty good fight. And you're right, he's not like going super crazy flailing and like trying to do all these crazy tricks and stuff. He's like flailing into them, which is a little bit better than what he was doing before, I feel like, where it was just like, I don't know, he was like being very unpredictable at a distance. This is like he's trying to like get his hands under you. He's not really going for a grip most of the time. So he's like kind of just slapping and like pushing up, and like I don't know, it's weird. I don't think I've seen someone fight in a way that he fights, maybe like a Haruma Fuji or something like that, but I mean Haruma Fuji was obviously way more tactical, but yeah, I could see like the comparison being made.
Yeah, and I don't know if this note was made because he did put on weight, but SumoDB does have an update where they have him listed at 155 kilograms, which is actually 253 pounds. But then they have a note from last tournament that he actually measured in at the same height, but a different weight of 129 kilograms, which would have been 284 pounds. So that might be that muscle weight that you might have seen. Maybe we just didn't notice it last tournament.
Yeah.
I also noticed that this time too, that it looks like he got a little bulky.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks like he's looking a little jacked.
Yeah. So,
but it looks like it's like lean. It's not like he was putting on belly weight. It looks like he's just like his arms are huge.
Yeah, he's been hitting the gym for sure.
Yeah. And that might be again with his like inside game, like being able to kind of push from nothing is probably gonna help him a lot. Whereas like a lot of guys are relying, I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of stronger leg strength than I do, but like being able to be in that close and like just kind of push from like your elbows and your biceps instead of like relying so much on your legs, I wonder if that's going to help him a lot.
Possibly.
Because he kind of just creates a little bit of distance with that. It's like little tiny shoves. Like if you watch him, he like, and then he kind of gets in there with like the belly move and like, you know, it wears him down a little bit or something. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, I'm interested to see how that holds up, because usually, as we've seen, guys who kind of slim down and muscle up are typically, they typically don't do as well.
Yeah.
Not that Tochinoshin has slimmed down at all, but he definitely muscled up.
Did he muscle up or did he?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a quick fall from grace.
He is remarkably bad now.
Yeah, he's not good. He doesn't look good. He's got to be like totally banged up at this point.
Yeah, because most of his, like, it was all in his lower legs. Like, I know he's got that bad, like, pretty much like cement block now on his knee.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of it was using his legs to like pick people up and just walk them out. And yeah. I don't know if he got that positioning on anyone. And he was fighting guys that were smaller than him.
Yeah, like I'm just watching a quick one with him and Kagiaki from day six. And he gets a, and he did win this one, and he goes, you know, he goes for the grip, but he's like, he gets forced to the outside so fast. Like he can't, like he's like lifting Kagiaki up essentially from one side of the ring that he was pinned against to the other. But like, yeah, he didn't see a lot of that from him. And when he won, that's what he was doing. But I don't think he has the knee strength to do that anymore. I don't know how he doesn't blow his back out either. Oh my God. Having a paper mache back myself. I don't know how he does this.
Yeah, no, it's surprising that, yeah, that he hasn't been injured. Cause
he like leans back too. It's gross. I'm like, oh my God. He's like Peter Griffin teaching someone how to lift like packages from that episode.
With a quick twisting, jerking motion.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, he's pretty much he's done skis, I think.
Yeah, I if he continues this trend, like I feel like he could be a guy who's like, yeah, I'd rather not go to Juryo. I'll just retire.
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy who once he hits Juryo, he's done. Like he went 5-10. He's going to drop down to
12
or, yeah, in the 12 to 14 range, I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the guys he'd have to be fighting down there are, he's like younger guys down there too. Like,
yeah, so there will be a lot of movement down there too, because the bottom of the Banzuke wasn't particularly great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, like a lot of 9 and 6s, not a lot, but you know, three 9 and 6s down there, 10 and 5. But a lot of 7 and 8s. That's a majority of them. Ishiura just can't get it to, can't hang out in Magashira at all.
He might get dropped down to 17 because he was 7 and 8. He, you know, won 2 of his last 3. So he might stay at 17. They might just drop him down one rank, but it really depends on, you know, who they're going to call up. Like Enho and Juryo 1 was 5 and 10. He was banged up though.
Yeah.
Giono will be called up. Tokushodaru will probably get called back up. Ura, who won the tournament, will be called back up. So yeah, maybe there is a chance that Ishiura does get dropped down.
Yeah. It's he's professionally hovering at the bottom of the Magashira and upper Juryo now. So
yeah, because the guys who will probably drop down to Juryo is probably going to be Akiseyama, Ryuden, Midoru Fuji, maybe Ishiura, and then Akua will be your like 5 or 6 guys that get dropped down.
Yeah. And yeah, Kaisei, which is one of my hot takes, we can, while we're down here.
Yeah.
My hot take. Yeah, 9 and 6. So he'll go up a few spots. Be, yeah, 11-12 probably.
Yeah, I had Kota Nowaka at 7 and 8. He took I think his last loss was on day 15.
Yeah, it sucks because he had a chance to you know, get his 8 there.
Yeah, get his Kachikoshi and get moved back up. But he'll only lose. He'll just go down one position. Honestly, it's probably going to be him and Koto Eiko who probably swap positions.
Yeah.
Or Koto could bump up because like the middle of the pack for this tournament was kind of hot garbage, especially
Yeah, and I didn't realize Koto Nowaka lost to Ishiura. I didn't remember that. But yeah, that's not a loss you want to be taking there. That's, you gotta beat that guy.
Yeah, that was a guy who already had a losing record. You know, no reason to have lost, and yeah, Koto Nowaka did.
He had him right in the beginning too, just kind of quickly watching the match. It's like, and then Ishiura got little on him. Oh, it was actually a really good.
Yeah, he like dumps him over.
Yeah, that was like, wow. Yeah, he just got played.
It's like, speaking of like back injuries, like there's been a couple of those where it's like, how do you even have it in you to not snap a tendon in your leg or blow out your back when you like flip these guys over your back? Like, yeah. I know it's mostly like momentum from the other guy that's kind of causing that, but still gonna be a lot of strength there to make sure that you don't blow anything out.
Mm-hmm. And blew mine out picking up groceries.
So. Yeah, putting on shorts one time. So
yeah.
not lifting a 400-pound man.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so and then we briefly mentioned Nendo too. That's we'll see where he goes. Probably up Ichinojo, up a rank or two. Just kind of highlighting some of the guys that we usually mention here.
Yeah, Hoshoryu actually had a really good tournament too. He had he I get excited about leg trips, and he's almost becoming like a leg trip specialist, and I love it because I want to see more of that. Because I think really the only person you ever kind of see it from is Hakuho, but that's just because he's so versatile. But I forget there was I don't know if it was Hoshoryu, but someone got like kicked right in the side of the leg. Oh yeah. Okay. So that was Akiseyama. Akiseyama got manhandled. I think he. I thought someone said that he broke his jaw like 2 days ago. Like 2 days on like day five or six before he pulled out. Like because he got clocked, pretty good, and I want to say it might have been against Chiyoshima on day six. But he gets like, just the crap beat out of him. And I felt bad watching it, but because like I get face slapping as part of it, but just man, did it just looked bad.
Yeah, and like I can't imagine what it's like once your jaw is broken to like try to even stay in there, like
Yeah.
because like there's so much like shoulder like to face kind of stuff going on there.
Yeah, I
God.
forget. I thought I read that. I'm hoping I'm not wrong, but I thought someone had said that he like something happened to his jaw. So,
But yeah, oh, it's just like a horrible thing to think about with just sumo wrestling, though.
I mean, that's why like I know this is getting into different sport, but like Zdeno Chara playing with a wired jaw, was it, yeah, 2 years ago. Like, yeah, you take a puck to the face, and then they just put some wires in, and then you can't talk, and you still play hockey.
Yeah,
Like
I
it's
don't know
just,
how you even breathe with that
yeah,
going on.
and you couldn't talk, so.
Yeah. It's yeah, I know. Gross. Anyway. Yeah, so I think I mean we touched on some of the drama.
Yeah.
But yeah, we won't go into it 'cause some of it's
Yeah,
stuff.
if you're interested, there are other like sumo follower on Twitter is probably one of the best resources to go to just in general for translated sumo news. But there's a lot of Twitter accounts out there that do translate news, but they're always my go-to. But yeah, they have more details on what happened with Ryuden and Asanoyama, and then there was the another Heian. This was all on day 12 or day 11 where like all this broke. And there was a counter going around where it's like number of days since the last scandal, and I hadn't been caught up, and I was like, oh God, really? I was like 2 or 3 days behind on getting the days watched, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch this and have this be my one spoiler because I want to know what it was. And I already knew about Ryuden being out, and I didn't know why. And I was like, really? Asanoyama, the guy that we kind of looked at as the next like Kasino Sato, like constantly in double digits. You know, the guy that I think everyone was actually kind of hoping to be a Yokozuna besides Takakesho. And it's like, well, there goes your other Ozeki.
It's just like these are things they definitely don't need right now. Like
No.
it's like everything's already kind of a shit show with like COVID and then like the whole like Haruo Fuji thing and Hakuho
And then
getting
you had
ready to pull out and
yeah, you had the COVID death last year. Then you had
yeah, the
the Sadagatake member who also pulled out because he didn't want to compete because of COVID, and he couldn't
yeah,
go Kyujo because of it, and so he retired.
and then you had the guy who was essentially paralyzed and
Yep, and then
died
died.
because of that. Like that was last tournament.
Yep.
Like it's
Yeah, you've had scandals pretty much consistently for the last 5 years or so.
and it's like you know there was like the big betting one like back in the day that like that was like the fabled scandal that I heard about when I was like getting into sumo. And then you know looking into it was obviously pretty major, but like I feel like these are way worse than that.
It depends with the scan with the betting. I forget if there was like they were worried about like match fixing or yeah.
But I
So
mean still this is like some of the stuff that's happening. I mean like the COVID stuff not so much, like that's just kind of expected, but like the other stuff that again we're not
especially
gonna
this
go
recently
into. Yeah,
scandaled,
like
yes.
and like but I mean like the Haruma Fuji throwing a remote at a karaoke bar, like that's stupid. Like, it's like,
well, I mean, I think he beat the guy with a remote. And
well, still, like, I don't know. I saw my friends get beat by their mom with a shoe. I don't know.
It's like I know, but like, are you a top ranked Yokozuna who's supposed to be like the ideal citizen and be an example for everyone to like rise to?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he definitely wasn't.
And I hate it because like I really liked Haruma Fuji. Like I loved watching him compete, and then to have him go out that way, I was like.
But that's crap. What I mean. Like, yeah. Like now, had that happened, like with all the other crap going on, would you have gotten rid of Haruma Fuji? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, or just because apparently all you do is get suspended for 5 tournaments now or something. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Yeah, I mean, because no one else is at the rank where you'd have to. But like, let's say Hakuho did any of this stuff. Like, if he did what Asuniyama did, or especially what Ryu didn't think, which I think it's just completely effed up.
Yeah.
You know, if it's true, this is still, I don't know if all these details are confirmed or it's speculation, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty certain.
Yeah.
Like, Hakuho would be easily thrown out. Like 100% would be forced to retire. And like, if this happened to Haruma Fuji or, you know, Kakaru, like, you know, these all would have been things that would have been, you know, retirement.
Yeah, I comparing the Ryuden thing to beating a person with a remote.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, like, seem even comparable.
Yeah, it's weird how they, when they hold Yokozuna to, like, the highest possible standards, like, that's why that's such a big deal compared to what Ryuden did. But yeah, it does kind of seem silly where it's like, you made that guy retire for beating someone with a remote. I think the guy was hospitalized too, so it's like it was kind of a severe beat, but it wasn't anything that was like life threatening. But like the other guy retired too, so it's not like, you know, he came back and he did amazing. Like I think he had to retire, and I don't know if it was like head damage or just he was like I'm embarrassed. And
it's just like, yeah, so like what are you doing to like, and I think all of this kind of stuff starts at like the stable level, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
It all comes from the whole like tiered system that they have there, you know, like that, like you hold these guys who are in the upper ranks in such high regard and everyone has to take care of them and they get like a complex and
that's why it's
not helped by the Sumo Association. I feel like
that's why I think we both became really big fans of Kota Shigeyuki, because I don't think he ever took that as like, I'm this holy image and like, you guys need to respect me. Like we met him and like, obviously we met him. Mm-hmm. And like off camera, I felt like he wasn't like a pushy kind of person, but like some of these people who might have this super, super high, like you guys have to, I'm the, like Turn of Fuji, I could potentially see that, but I've seen photos of him. And it seems like he like goofs around and stuff, but
yeah, I mean, when I think Turn of Fuji now, like you said earlier, is way different than Turn of Fuji then. Like he had like this weird, like
cocky complex
swagger to him. Yeah.
For like, no reason. Back, like he hadn't earned anything.
Yeah. When he first started up, but then I think he got humbled a little bit by the injury.
Yes. Where he's like, I'm going to work for what I want now. And
yeah. So it's definitely more respectable. But like, so I would agree that Kota Shigeyuki never really had that, that kind of complex about him, but I don't think any of the other, it was like he really did either. I think if anyone did, maybe like Guido, but like
I don't even know
Guido. Even then I don't really think like that's kind of, you know, I'm pushing to find somebody, but
maybe,
you know,
Tochinoshin.
I mean, Tochinoshin definitely had like a weird swagger to him, and I think he still kind of does, but it's not like it's not fooled anybody these days.
Yeah, like I don't think people are afraid to get in the ring with him. And I mean, he was losing to, he lost to Taritsu Yoshi, who I had as one of my picks. And he went low a lot this tournament. He's a smaller guy, but he was really going for like leg grabs and trying to dump people. And I'm pretty sure he beat Tochinoshin. Because like I said, Tochinoshin was kind of being humiliated by pretty much everybody. Let's see. Yeah, Taritsu Yoshi. It's Tsurugi Show. Taritsu Yoshi. Did he not face him? I thought he did.
So I'm checking too here real quick.
No, maybe he didn't. I guess he did. Maybe it was, yeah, I don't know who I was thinking of. Maybe like Toby Zaru or something, but.
Yeah, but yeah, the guys that Tochinoshin just kind of pick on Tojinoshin a bit more here. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't really pushovers, but like, you know, Ichinojo, Takara Fuji, Hadanoumi, Onosho, like, they're not terrible guys, but I think these are guys he would have, like, smoked, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's head-to-head against some of them. He's 16-9 versus Ichinojo, lost to him. He's 13-10 against Takara Fuji, 1-1 against Hadanoumi, 1-2 against Onosho, 12-15 against Miyagiru, he lost to him. I don't know if these include the 12-15 that includes that loss or not, too, but...
Yeah. He lost to Kaisei on day 15. Like, it's not... That's not Toshioshin caliber right there. Yeah, so... But yeah, I think the swagger and like, all that kind of stuff, it's such a strange thing because it's not like... I mean, it's a popular sport, obviously, in Japan, but it's not like... It's not even, like, baseball popular or even soccer popular over there, I feel like.
Yeah, probably not. Even though it's its national sport, I still think... I think it's probably... It could be more popular than soccer. I think baseball is probably the most popular sport. And then maybe sumo...
They got rugby and stuff, which is... become popular in the last few years. I wouldn't say it's like a super popular sport over there, but
yeah.
Tochinoshin, what I'm just watching his fight on day 15, he's limping after losing to Kaisei too.
Yeah, like,
so he was probably done.
Yeah, he doesn't look good. I'm guessing if we're on like retirement watch for this year, he's a candidate to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but like I said, if he hits Juryo, he's not going to be a guy who bounces up and down. Like, he's not going to want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's such a weird kind of thing over there. And I think it goes to a lot of those guys' heads. And, you know, like, I think it's kind of, like, you know, lame's not the right word, but I'm going to use lame. Like, to suggest that these guys should be getting some sort of, like, training on, like, how to be a professional. You know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact that, like, in the NHL, like, at the beginning of every year, you know, they have, like, PR training and, like, how to interact with the media and, like, what to say and what not to say and, like, those kind of things. And I'm sure they do it with every other professional sport in America. But I don't know if they do all that much with sumo.
See, they must, because when they have interviews, they never say anything outside of like the scripted thing that they are. It's almost like everyone in sumo is under Bill Belichick.
Right. But yeah, like that's the thing. I mean, it's like, it's almost just like the training is like 1 hour and it's just like, don't say anything.
If it works, that's all the training you need to do.
But it doesn't seem like it is working. You know what I mean? It's like, you got guys going out and doing stupid stuff. Like some of that training, I'm not necessarily saying it has to be all about media because that's the easy part. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, I guarantee there's probably some, you know, like abuse of substances going on that is probably not presented to these guys outside their stable. And like, it's obviously a problem that exists in Japan. Like alcoholism and such. So like, and again, they're athletes and they're fit and can handle themselves and stuff. But I just wonder how much that plays into these kind of things. You know what I mean? Like they're all getting caught going to these hostess clubs. Like if you're not supposed to be there, maybe like you need some training on like how to do it if you are going to go there, you know?
We'll see. Like, but I think that just gives into the problem. And my question for these are if they go, like Abby went to this place and he was suspended because he went to a place that they shouldn't have because of COVID restrictions. Like, I don't think he did anything that was as controversial as what Ryuden did and what I think Asunayama also did. Mm-hmm. But I think Abby just did something that he shouldn't have. And he's had like a past too with that. And he's even come out and said like, he's learned his lesson and he's won back-to-back Makushita tournaments. Going 7-0 in each of them, so he'll be like likely back up in Juryo. But yeah, like determining what I lost my train of thought. I had a train of thought, and the train left the station.
It left the station. But I just think, like, I don't know, like, some sort of, maybe there is tons of training, and I'm just talking out my ass, but I don't feel like it's, this is like the third or fourth time this has happened in the last year. Like, if you, I mean, granted, it was a big burst in this tournament, but, like, and that's just the stuff that we're finding out about.
And I don't think anyone's been, like, set an example of either, really. Like, that's the problem. Like, if someone was really, like, yeah, Haruma Fuji had to retire, but, like, well, he was a Yokozuna, so of course that's what you have to do. So, like, you can't really use him as an example, because by default, anything bad he does is a forced retirement.
Yeah.
But, like I don't think anyone cares what, like, Abi. Maybe Asaniyama, considering he's an Ozeki and he did something stupid, because, like Abi wasn't an Ozeki. You know, Ryan is not an Ozeki, but like Asanayama is an active Ozeki who was performing at an Ozeki level, and he had things going right for him, and then he just does this dumb thing.
And think about, why is the name escaping me right now? Egyptian guy.
Tsunarashi.
Yeah. He just drove car.
Yep.
I mean, granted, he drove a car like twice, but like, God, they dropped the hammer on him.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, I think part of that is a little bit of discrimination. I think that's like, fueled a little bit of that.
I agree that I think with Osunarashi, they went a little hard on him, where it's like, I know that he's not supposed to be driving, but yeah, it was kind of goofy. But
and like, he did it twice, like, so I get it, but they weren't lenient with him by any means.
No.
Even on the first, violation. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, we always joke about the NHL wheel of punishment. Like, what's the punishment going to be for this? It kind of feels like the Sumo Association is using that, but on like a more all or nothing scale. Mm-hmm. Like, where it's like, oh, someone found out about it, well, now you're screwed. But as long as it's like kept quiet, like, how much of the actual inquiring are they doing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's no way really for us to know, but like, do they have like agents at like the hostess clubs? Like, how did he get caught? I'm guessing like the females probably reported them.
Either that or someone within the stable ratted. Where it was like, oh, he snuck out and he shouldn't have it.
That's another thing too, is like, imagine the amount of rats that got to be in there. Like, mm-hmm. especially if it's so competitive and abusive in some cases. If there's some lower ranked kid, you know, who got shoved into a locker, which is obviously something way worse. But like imagine the vendetta if he knows where he's going. Why would you even risk that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just seems like you're relying a lot on people's like the fear of the Japanese culture. You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, that would be, you know, disrespectful to report your superior in a case like that, and you'll like shame your whole family. but I mean, like, if you're blowing up this kid's social media or something like that, and, you know, calling him names, for lack of a better term. Or something along those lines, I can imagine. I would jump at the opportunity, especially if you could do it and not get caught. If you could do it anonymously.
Yeah, I wonder how often it actually... I mean, I don't think we ever find out, that means like us as fans or even in the media, ever really find out who the rats are. But I wonder if like the Heia knows who did it.
Mm.
I mean, they pretty much have to.
I wonder if, and again, this is all pure speculation. I'm going down like a pretty big rabbit hole with this now, but like, mm-hmm. I wonder if it's used as like a weapon by stable masters too. Like, if someone's getting a little out of control.
Yeah, maybe.
And they think they're like getting above the, the stable master's hand. You could be like, all right, well, you might get reported in the next few weeks. Like, or something like that. You know what I mean? Probably not likely, but I don't know. I just like, but who knows really with like how crazy that stuff is. Like, they still have this weird caste system in those stables, so it could be anything.
Yeah, I do wonder what they'll do with Asaniyama if they're going to be like, because I mean, Abi got 5.
Yeah.
So like Asaniyama, is he going to get 6, 7? I mean, he's an Ozeki. Yeah. If you're holding higher ranked guys at a higher level like your Yokozuna, you have to make them retire. Ozeki, a guaranteed year suspension, 6 tournaments, 7 tournaments.
Yeah. What I saw was 5 tournaments and he's definitely in Churio.
Yes.
That's what I saw. So,
I mean, for him, he'll climb back up and it's like, but
yeah, but
I mean, that's lots of money. Like, that's the big thing too. It's like, he's making bank up there. He's your top ranked guy this tournament. He's, you know, he's got what we call the fat stacks. He's getting the envelopes and now his money's gone for the next 5 to 6 tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in US sports where like you get suspended for 25 games. Like, as long as it's not in your clause that you can't test positive for something, you still get that money. So like Asaniyama is he's not getting this in. He's not getting his envelope money because he's not competing and not going to win, and he doesn't get the money.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, it's obviously a pretty big hit for any of these guys.
Oh yeah,
I mean, especially since like, I mean, even Hakuho isn't making like MPB money, you know.
So, oh no, but he's I wouldn't be like, some of these guys probably have like sponsorships and stuff like that. They do like commercials for some chicken or whatever. Some hot dog for
some hot dog chicken.
Yeah, Nippon ham. You know, they got they're doing some advertising for some sweet meat that they got coming out or whatever. So they probably
these are all have. Great. These are all great terms. Sweet meat is my favorite so far.
There you go. That'll be the title of this.
Repeats
and sweet meat. That's it. Repeats and sweet meats. That's what the name of this is going to be. So
it's good. It's a good episode title.
Spoiler right in the title, but.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure they got things going on.
Oh yeah. And,
I got to imagine. So another thing too, like I know they contribute to the stable and things like that. Like part of their money goes there.
Yes.
So like, but I wonder, if they have to pay a majority of that to the stable? You know what I mean? Like if Hakuho and we'll say some other guy is like Maga share of 15, like technically he's making money, like percentage wise, is he giving more to the stable than like 15 guy, or is like,
yeah. So I think it is a certain percentage base that some percent goes to the stable and then some of it goes towards like their retirement fund, I think. And then some of it also goes to like their personal wallets, I think. I thought there was 3 different ways that where the money goes.
Yeah.
So like when they retire, they get this like influx of money. I thought I could be wrong about the retirement one, but
I think I remember hearing about the retirement thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Alrighty. Well, I think we're about ready to wrap this.
Yeah, no, we've touched on a lot of things. Fun fact, going back, so remember, I don't know, maybe we didn't talk about this on this, but maybe talked about it before, but Ishizaki, the guy who beat Kota Daigo.
Yes.
This was his first professional tournament ever. This is the only thing he has. He went 7-0, won his first U show as a first-time wrestler.
Wow.
Yep. Yep.
So he's in... Sadanme
100. Yeah. Yep. So typically people who get dropped into Sadanme are those who've won previous tournaments. So he must have won some like amateur tournament outside of this, and then they usually drop him into Sadanme. So he gets like a half promotion. But yeah, so he was Sadanme 100 out of the Nippon Sports Science University. Ooh. 22 years old and went 7-0 in his first tournament.
Interesting.
Yep. And he beat Kota Daigo, who is apparently a 10-year veteran. I didn't realize he's been around that long. But
he just. I'm just looking up some pictures here.
Yeah. So this is actually I just sent you.
Yeah.
What the guy looks like, because we were mentioning this before it, but he doesn't know how to get the award because this is the first time he's won anything. But like the person giving the announcement like walks forward, and then he also approaches him almost like what you would have done in like any other setting, like we want to congratulate Joe on graduating, like,
yeah
they both come to the same podium and whatever. But yeah, they were like, okay, go back. And that's from it's a video from Sumo Soul.
It's a good
sumo account.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, he is pretty jacked too.
Yeah, everyone was like, he's pretty muscular.
How old is he?
22. Yeah. Yep. I just love looking at all these records and like Sadat Main, Joni Don, and Jonah Coochie, and be like, everyone just goes 7-0. Like,
yeah.
I mean, even Abby was back to back 7-0s. And then Abby's a 3-time Makushita champ.
The skill set drops so sharply, like, or well, I guess increases, however you want to look at it, from even Makushita into Juryo. It's like,
yeah,
how much more competitive it becomes.
Yep. Yeah, as soon as you're a paid wrestler, like, it gets pretty tough, because you have those veterans who kind of just float around in Juryo, so they're almost like the gatekeepers for people who are coming through Makushita, where it's like, all right, like next tournament we'll have Kota Kuzan, so that's another guy from the Sadagatake stable who will come up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he'll be up, and he's been around since 2009. So I don't know if this will be his first Juryo. Yeah, so this will be his first time being in Juryo. And he's 27, but yeah, we'll have another guy from Sadagatake up there.
Nice.
Just always, always good. Oh, actually, no, that's weird. He has a Kodo name, but he's not in, apparently that's not the family name. So he's not Sadagatake.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's strange. I thought he was.
I wonder how that all works.
Yeah, well, there's some guys, like even like the Chios, like I think one of the Chios in there aren't actually one of these Chios are not like the other. I think it's one of them that actually have it that, I mean, it's kind of like, we see that a lot with like the Fujis, and there's some other ones that are like, you have the same end name, but they're not part of the same stable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's one of the Chios that aren't like the other. I could be wrong. Yeah, there's a couple of them have like similar naming structures that aren't in it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, so you got any other surprise stuff? Because I always cut you off at the end. You always have so much more to bring. We're going to make a segment at the end. It's just like things Mike forgot to talk about. And then you'll wrap us up and
random odds and ends. No, I don't think so. This tournament, I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the Makushita or Juryo coverage. I did last tournament because I was interested in seeing who was coming up. So like Shishi was another person that I was keeping an eye on. He's based out of the Ukraine, and he's kind of a tall dude. So he was someone I was keeping an eye on last tournament. He was 6-1 this tournament. Oho was someone that we were looking into. He is, I always get this one missed. He is the grandson of, I want to say Takanohana, but I could be wrong. Because now I finally figured out that Hoshoru is the nephew of Asashoru. So Asashoru was the former Yokozuna, I think, was before Hakuho. That was the one he kind of passed it off to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was someone else that's going to be in Juryo that'll be coming back next tournament, and we're looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. And I honestly fell behind this. Like, that's always so hard to, like, when you're watching this and it's not live, it's like when you're like 3 or 4 days behind and you're like, crap, I got to catch up. It's I wasn't caught up most of the time, so I was like just doing a few here or there, or like I'd watch like 5 in a row or something as much as I could.
Yeah,
it's way more enjoyable when, like, the last tournament I was like every single day I was watching like the day's matches.
Yeah,
so I gotta try and get back to that.
Yeah, Oho is the grandson of Tahoe, T-H-I-H-O. So we're always accurate. I'll remember that for next time because I always forget. I think as soon as as soon as you fall like 2 days behind, and obviously we've had a crazy couple weeks on top of wanting to cover all this, fun fact, we have watched Australian rugby.
Yeah,
we won't be making a podcast about that, but we've watched the
St. George Dragons. Yeah,
St. George Dragons. I don't know if that's a bold statement for us to say that, and they might actually have their latest game on. It's been 3 days after it, so
yeah, they got the footy match will be on.
Yeah, the footy match.
Yeah, that's what they call it. It's footy.
I guess the last 2 points I want to make is Wakamoto Haru Waka Takakage's older brother was 9-6 and will be moving up in Juryo, and Koto Shoho was 7-8 down in Juryo 5. But yeah, that's all I have.
All right, well, you got one more thing to do.
Oh yeah, good transition. You can catch us at Super Sumo Bros on Twitter, supersumobrothers.com, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Google Play.
There you go. See, I remembered this time.
There you go. It was a good transition.
But I set you up. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. That was the assist. That was good.
All right. We will see you, and hopefully maybe we'll do some episode in between. I don't know. I don't want to make any promises. We say that a lot, but
it'll be 1 year for us. So yeah, in July we'll try and have our act together for July.
Yeah. Well, again, we make no promises. But
yeah, no promises.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care.